Ikatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ikatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are tackling a subject that's really shaping, well, everything. Robotics.
Yeah, and we're not just talking about, you know, the usual killer robots in the movie.
Definitely not. We're diving into John M. Jordan's comprehensive analysis. He's sort of our expert guide through the, let's say, the real state of the robot revolution.
That's exactly right. Our mission today, it's very specific. We want to unpack what robotics truly is right now.
How do we do that?
By really focusing on separating the sensational stuff, the sci-fi hype and anxiety, from the practical, measurable reality of what these machines actually do today.
And understanding that difference is so important for you listening right now. I mean, robotics is quietly changing every sector.
You see it in modern warehousing, complex surgery.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere.
Right. So if you're making decisions, personal or professional ones, you really need to know the actual capabilities. And just as importantly, the limitations, the history baked into them too.
And Jordan is, well, he's the perfect guide for this landscape. He's a professor at Penn State.
But what makes his take so valuable?
It's his interdisciplinary approach. He doesn't just stick to, like, pure engineering. He pulls in business strategy, social sciences, even the history of technology. Science and technology studies, they call it.
Okay. So he's grounding the tech talk in how societies and organizations actually use this stuff. That's often where things go wrong, right?
Right.
The implementation.
Exactly. He's not just focused on how a robot works, but why it matters.
Yeah.
What does adopting it mean for, you know, workers, managers, everyone involved?
That makes sense. His authority comes from connecting these old ideas, the sort of cultural baggage of the robot, to the cold, hard reality of an industrial arm in a cage on a factory floor.
He bridges that gap really effectively.
Okay, so let's unpack his main argument. Jordan kind of strips away the sci-fi glamour right away, doesn't he?
He does. He presents this thesis that looks at the robot from two sides, which often seem to conflict.
What's the first side?
The practical reality. He argues that this whole robot revolution idea is often mislabeled. It's not mainly about humans being replaced.
So what is it about then?
It's more about powerful new forms of human-machine collaboration. Robots are basically very sophisticated tools. They extend what we can do.
Okay, practical tools. What's the second part?
That's the cultural history. And this is what makes the book so, I think, resonant. Jordan argues the robot is fundamentally an idea long before it becomes a machine.
An idea. How so?
It's this powerful cultural symbol that carries all our deep-seated anxieties, you know, about work, about autonomy, about what makes us human.
Gotcha. So the book is both things, an intellectual history and a practical guide.
Precisely. It takes you from the very definition of robot, its cultural birth, through the big ideas like cybernetics.
And then right into how they're actually used, or maybe not used successfully, in factories and hospitals today.
Right. The goal is a balanced, evidence-based look for anyone who needs to get genuinely smart on this.
Yeah.
Not just the headlines.
All right, let's jump in. You mentioned the cultural birth beginning. That story starts pretty dark, doesn't it?
It really does. You have to start with Carol Apex's play from 1920, R.U.R. Rossum's Universal Robots.
That's the origin point.
It is. And the word itself, robot, it comes straight from the Czech word robota. It literally means forced labor or drudgery. So that link between artificial beings and servitude, it's baked right into the name from day one.
Oh, wow. And the play itself, R.U.R., it set a template we're kind of still dealing with, didn't it?
Absolutely. The plot is robots are mass-produced to eliminate all human work. Sounds great, right? A utopia. But predictably, it ends in a violent robot uprising and, well, human extinction.
Yikes. And it's incredible how much that narrative, over a century old, still shapes how we talk about automation today.
It embedded those themes. Yeah. Class struggle, fear of replacement, losing control, right into the concept of the robot itself. It set the cultural expectation.
Okay, so that's the powerful idea. But for robots to become real, we needed some big shifts in thinking, right?
New huge ones, really. First, we had to move past the old automata from the 18th century.
You mean those intricate clockwork things like Vaucanson's duck?
Exactly. They were amazing, but mostly just whimsical gadgets meant to mimic life. Entertainment, basically.
How did that change?
It shifted to automation. This was driven by the Industrial Revolution. Philosophies like Taylorism, the goal wasn't mimicking life anymore.
It was.
Replacing specific human labor. For pure efficiency. It was about optimization, not artistry.
Okay, shift one from mimicry to replacement. What was the second big leap?
That was cybernetics, especially after World War II, led by thinkers like Norbert Wiener. This gave us the theory for adaptive systems,
What's the core idea
the
there?
feedback loop, a system that can sense its environment, process that information, and then adjust its actions based on it.
Ah, okay. Like a thermostat sensing the room temperature and turning the heat on or off.
Precisely. That ability to adjust that feedback is what transforms a machine from just a pre-programmed puppet into something that can potentially adapt, a potential thinking machine, in quotes.
So while the engineers and theorists were figuring this out, fiction was still playing a huge role in shaping how people thought about robots.
Oh, immensely. You absolutely have to talk about Isaac Asimov.
The three laws of robotics guy.
Right. He saw the danger in that RUR narrative, the inevitable rebellion. And his three laws were basically an attempt to code an ethical solution right into the robots themselves, a way to prevent the uprising.
And it's kind of amazing, isn't it, that a science fiction writer provided this ethical framework that actual engineers and policymakers referenced for decades.
It really is. It shows fiction actively shaping how we approach technology.
But okay, after all this cultural buildup, the philosophy, the sci-fi, the actual robot finally arrives.
Jordan points to 1961, the UNIMOT, the first industrial robot arm installed at a General Motors plant.
Wait. So, after OpEx killer robots and Asimov's thoughtful companions, the first real robot was just a big, clumsy arm doing one repetitive task, like welding.
Pretty much stuck in a cage doing the same thing over and over. It must have been a huge anticlimax compared to the public sci-fi expectations.
That's a massive gap between the idea and the machine.
Huge. The UNIMOT was, well, dumb, repetitive, confined. It proved early on that real-world robotics would be driven by utility, not by trying to make artificial humans.
And much of the modern world is just the evolution of that, right? More sophisticated, but the same principle.
In many ways, yes. We see amazing industrial applications now, complex assembly like Toyota uses or Amazon's logistics systems.
Right.
Highly precise, incredibly integrated.
And in healthcare too, with surgical robots, rehabilitation systems.
True. But the fundamental challenge that Jordan highlights is still there, getting autonomous systems to work reliably in uncontrolled environments.
Like self-driving cars on busy streets.
Exactly. That requires incredible sensor fusion, interpreting chaotic data. We're still figuring that out. It's much harder than a predictable factory floor.
Okay, so this tension between the dream and the reality, that's where Jordan pulls out his key themes, right?
Yes, and they're really practical takeaways.
Let's hit the first one. It kind of pushes back against the scary headlines. Human-robot collaboration, not replacement.
Right. He argues successful robotics is about leveraging the best of both: human strengths, creativity, tricky problem-solving, empathy.
Alongside robot strength, tireless repetition, precision, handling heavy loads.
Exactly. It reframes the whole debate. It's not just about jobs disappearing, but how jobs change through collaboration.
Okay, that connects to the next theme. Context matters more than technology.
This is crucial. Jordan shows that how technically fancy a robot is often less important than how well it fits its specific job and environment.
So a super advanced robot might fail if the context is wrong.
Totally. A robot brilliant in a controlled factory might be useless, even dangerous, in the messy, unpredictable reality of, say, a hospital corridor or a construction site.
Okay, number three is vital for anyone actually trying to use these things. Infrastructure and integration challenges are key.
Yes. He hammers this point. The biggest hurdle often isn't the robot itself, the hardware.
It's.
It's the nightmare of integrating it into how things already work. Training people, changing workflows, maintenance, the supporting IT, that's the hard part, and often the hidden cost.
That makes a lot of sense. The shiny new toy is easy. Making it actually work with everything else is tough.
Right. And the final theme is more philosophical, but it underpins everything. The robot as a mirror for humanity.
How so?
Because in trying to create artificial life or artificial workers, we're forced to constantly ask questions about ourselves. What is the value of human labor? What constitutes consciousness? What are our ethical responsibilities?
So every debate about robots is kind of a debate about us.
Fundamentally, yes.
Okay, if you had to pull out just a few core insights, like memorable lines that capture Jordan's approach.
Well, these aren't exact quotes, maybe, but the essence is there. First, for designers, robots are not artificial humans. They are sophisticated tools that extend human capabilities.
That directly fights against that urge to make them look and act like people, the anthropomorphism thing.
Exactly. It forces a focus on practical design. What problem does this tool solve?
Okay, what's another key takeaway?
For deciding where to invest. The most successful robotics applications solve specific problems rather than trying to replicate general human abilities.
Right. Focus on doing one thing well, not trying to be a jack of all trades. That explains why the Unimit arm worked, but the general purpose robot butler is still mostly sci-fi.
Precisely. And the third one, for anyone implementing robots, integration challenges, not technical limitations, are the primary barriers to robotics adoption.
So stop obsessing only about the robot specs and start thinking about the whole system.
Yes. Systems thinking, change management, that's where the real work lies.
Okay, let's make this really concrete for you, the listener. If you're a business leader, maybe a manager.
Jordan's framework is your guide. Evaluate robots based on very specific, clearly defined problems where they offer real, measurable value. Don't just buy tech for tech's sake.
And crucially, plan realistic budgets. Factor in all those integration costs, the training, the infrastructure upgrades, not just the sticker price of the robot.
The cheapest robot, in the long run, is the one that actually integrates smoothly and does the job effectively.
Okay, what about for policymakers?
Jordan's message is, move beyond the hype cycle. Use solid, evidence-based analysis, not just the latest scary or exciting news story.
To do what?
To develop nuanced regulations. Think proactively about things like job displacement, worker retraining, data privacy. Don't wait for a crisis to react.
And maybe most personally, for workers, for students, what's the takeaway?
The message is actually quite empowering, I think. Focus on developing the skills that complement robots.
Like what?
Creativity. Complex problem solving, the really messy stuff.
Yeah.
Emotional intelligence. Communicating effectively with other humans.
The things robots aren't good at.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These are the uniquely human strengths that current and near future automation just can't replicate. It's about evolving your role, not just fearing replacement.
Okay, final thoughts. What's the one thing that really stuck with you, maybe surprised you?
For me, it goes back to the beginning, the sheer power of narrative. The fact that the idea of the robot, that cultural construct born in a play, existed and shaped our thinking for 50 years before the Unimit even appeared.
Yeah, the idea was arguably more potent than the machine for a long time.
It really was. It shows how much our stories and cultural anxieties frame technological development.
And for my final takeaway, it's the absolute necessity of that interdisciplinary view Jordan champions.
You mean bringing together the tech and the human sides?
Exactly. You can't just let the engineers build stuff in a vacuum. You need the ethicists, the sociologists, the business strategists, the historians, all involved, because the consequences are deeply human.
Absolutely. It takes collaboration between humans and machines, sure, but also between different fields of human knowledge to navigate this future wisely.
Well said. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.